This is Afternoons on ABC Radio.
Dr. Cameron Webb is a mosquito researcher from the University of Sydney. There's nothing about the mosquito he doesn't like, love, or know. So lovely to have you along. Cameron Webb, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, James.
How are you? You were just saying, like this, you know, I said the usual thing you say at this time of the year, say, getting some time off, Cam? And he goes, no, it's my busy time.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, everybody else is opening Christmas presents or at least stuck in line at the supermarkets. So I'm sloshing about the wetlands chasing mosquitoes. So,
So this is, well, as we know, this is why we talk about it now. So because they're active now, this is when you're doing your work.
Yeah, that's right. And so a lot of the work that we do for like New South Wales Health and New South Wales Health Pathology is going out doing a lot of mosquito trapping in areas around Sydney and elsewhere in New South Wales. So we catch the mosquitoes, so see how many of them are about, see where they're carrying any viruses. So something like Ross River virus, that information goes back to the health authorities or local council who might issue health warnings. So for those of you kind of heading out of Sydney for the Christmas holiday camping trip or whatever it might be, sometimes you'll see notices about taking extra precautions to avoid mosquito bites for those reasons.
So we all tend to know where the Ross River areas are. Are we 100% on that?
Yeah, not so great actually, because it's really hard to predict where we see activity every year. That's why we do surveillance. So unless you get out there, catch the mosquitoes and see what they're carrying, you're sort of too hard to guess where it's going to occur. We know it's mostly outside of the metropolitan areas, and the reason for that is that mosquitoes don't hatch out of the wetland carrying the virus. They've got to bite an animal first to pick it up, and most of the time that's kangaroos and wallabies. So that's why it's so hard to predict outbreaks, because you've got to understand what's going on with the mosquitoes, the wetlands, the virus, but also the local wildlife. And so it's a hard
time. So they've got to be alive. So they're not hatched with the virus. They pick up the virus. Then they've got to get onto you.
Yeah, that's right. So,
it's a reasonable, you know, the odds are in your favour in a way, aren't they? Like, if you're very, it sounds like from that chain, you're unlucky to get it.
Yeah, in many respects. But there's like thousands of people across Australia get infected every year. So we shouldn't really be complacent, because although Ross River virus won't kill you, it can make you pretty sick. And so there can be a very severe and debilitating illness that'll last weeks, maybe sometimes months in severe cases. So, you know, even just one mosquito bite that's a bit itchy can be annoying for plenty of people. But yeah, there's some more serious consequences, certainly when you get into rural or regional areas of Australia.
Yeah. Do many places, like this time of the year, do councils and towns, do they do mosquito control because they're going to get visitors, because we're coming in over January?
Yeah, certain parts of Australia certainly do. So areas of Western Australia, particularly southeast Queensland, and also some places in New South Wales. The thing is, though, is that that mosquito control is not designed to eradicate mosquitoes. It's really reducing the populations pretty substantially, so it alleviates some of that nuisance biting problems you might get. But unfortunately, when we look at this, we don't think that it is enough to actually stop transmission of some of these viruses. So even if you are going to somewhere like southeast Queensland, where they do a lot of mosquito control, again, don't be complacent, because they still see outbreaks of Ross River virus almost every year.
Should we eradicate mosquitoes?
It's a great question. Now, funnily enough, understanding the ecological role of mosquitoes has been pretty low on the list of priority of mosquito researchers for a pretty long time.
You've been trying to get interest, I know. But
like, I know. Look, I think we, I guess the answer is that we probably don't want to, but probably because we don't really understand how important mosquitoes are. I think some of the mozzies that transmit the really serious pathogens, things like dengue virus or malaria parasites that kill over 500,000 people every year, I think for some of those mosquitoes that live in our kind of urban areas, our drains and buckets and pot plant sources in our backyard, maybe they're not important, but the ones in the local wetlands are certainly food for birds and bats and fish and frogs. So maybe we just haven't worked out how important they actually are.
Yeah. We could encourage more flies so they've got something to eat, so we've got less mozzies, but then we'd have more flies. So
I think that's the problem, is that if you find something that can eat mosquitoes, they don't eat enough of them to control the populations.
Yeah. If you've got questions about getting rid of mozzies in your area, 1-300-222-702, or something you think works, or something you found very, very effective. Now, you were writing on the ABC site during the week, Cameron Webb, about the efficacy or otherwise of mosquito coils. I hate them. I just feel like I've got this smelly smoke and mosquitoes. So do they work or not?
Yeah, it's a great question, because they're a common kind of sight and smell of summer in many parts of Australia. The research that's been done shows that they can help in reducing the number of bites that you get, but they're not good at providing complete protection. Right. And I think that's a really important thing, because in those areas where there's a risk of disease, you want to try to prevent almost every mosquito bite. So mosquito coils are helpful, but they shouldn't be used by themselves. They should be using combination with using a topical insect repellent or other measures. I think they're really important.
But once you've got the repellent on, do I need the coil?
Yeah, look, probably not. It'll help if you feel comfortable doing that, but in many respects, you don't need to do it. Particularly the coils that contain sort of citronella and plant-based materials, they're not quite as effective as those that contain insecticides. But one of the things we're worried about is people who feel like they need to burn a mosquito coil in a confined space or beside the bed at night, because you don't want to be breathing in all that smoke and particulate matter and stuff like that released from the smoldering coil. The insecticide that's contained in them is fine. That doesn't have an impact on humans, but all that smoke, breathing out smoke's no good. So look at other options. There's a whole range.
What's the burning stuff?
Well, it's really just that sort of cardboard and other chemicals in the coil itself. There's a little bit of insecticide, which is the same stuff that we find in our sort of fly sprays around the home. But there's some new products available now that are like smokeless mosquito coils. You plug them into the wall or use batteries. They release the same type of insecticide, but of course you don't have the smoke, which is better for all concerned.
The best question to ask you is, what do you use? You're a guy that's about to wade into a wetland full of mosquitoes. What do you do to make sure you don't get bitten?
I wear repellent, but I can't wear it all the time because I don't want to contaminate my traps and stuff like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so most of the time...
So what, if you were sticking your hand into the mozzie trap covered in reed or something?
Yeah, if I'm handling my mosquito traps and equipment, it kind of runs off. And that stuff is so effective that it disrupts some of the work that I'm doing. So most of the time when I'm out in the field, I'm usually sort of a bit boring. I wear long sleeve shirts and pants and stuff like that. Sometimes even kind of a head net to save my face from being bitten. But if I am in an area where there's a risk of disease, certainly some of the mosquito repellents that contain things like DEET or picaridin are my first choice to use.
Right. Okay. If you've got questions, 1-300-222-702 is our number. Hello there, Brenda.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I'm planning a new garden, and it has been suggested that I plant things like lavender and rosemary and a port wine magnolia. What other things could I plant that would deter mosquitoes?
Right.
Yeah, look, that's a great question. But unfortunately, some of those plants that are often encouraged to repel mosquitoes don't work very well. And one of the reasons for that is that the plants might contain an essential oil or something that, once it's isolated and concentrated, can repel mosquitoes. But whenever scientists have looked at this question, the whole plant itself rarely kind of repels mosquitoes. And, in New South Wales, one of the worst places to go to get bitten by a mosquito is some of the tea tree swamps on the north coast.
Right.
Yet those plants contain oil that is actually quite good at repelling mosquitoes. So there's nothing you can plant to keep mosquitoes away, but I'd strongly recommend against any of the plants that can trap water. So things like bromeliads are a great example. Beautiful plants, but they're also a great home for mosquitoes. So I can't give you that magic plant that's going to chase away the mosquitoes, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some citywide campaigns in some areas, or reports on citywide campaigns where they deliberately go out and they're turning over buckets of water and pot plant holders and things that hold water, because that's where the mosquito problem is coming from. Do we do much of that in Australia?
Yeah, we do in far north Queensland. So the difference is that in areas where you get outbreaks of things like dengue or chikungunya virus or Zika virus, the mosquitoes that spread it live in habitats in our backyards, pot plant sources, drains, buckets, things like that. And in Australia, the only regions where that's a major concern is in far north Queensland around Townsville and Cairns. The mosquitoes that transmit things like Ross River virus around the rest of the country, they're coming from our wetlands. And so we do have mozzies in our backyards, but often they're overshadowed by the mozzies flying in from bushland or wetland areas.
Yeah. Jen's going to India. She's got the malaria pills. What else should she be doing to make sure she doesn't get bitten?
Probably the most important thing is to take repellent from Australia. You never know exactly what you're going to get when you travel overseas. But some of these countries, particularly where there's a risk of dengue, it's important to remember that the mosquitoes bite during the day, not just in the afternoon or evening. So put the repellent on in the morning when you get up, and that's going to provide the best protection. So obviously a risk in some places like India, but particularly Bali and in the Pacific, where a lot of Australians will be travelling for holidays, put that repellent on during the day.
People will say, oh, the mosquitoes love me. Is that true?
Yeah, we certainly know some people get bitten by mosquitoes more than others. Right. It probably comes down to the smell of their skin, so the bacteria on your skin, the chemicals you sweat out. We know that some people are bitten more by mosquitoes. Some people react more to their bites, which probably confuses the issue a little bit. Mm. I'm yet to meet anyone who will not ever get bitten by a mosquito. Right. So I guess the message is that even if you feel like you're not a mosquito magnet, don't be complacent.
Gavin?
Yeah?
What do you want to know?
CO2 traps, are they, how effective are they for mosquitoes?
Carbon dioxide, CO2, is one of the things that mosquitoes use to find us or any of the animals where they can get a blood meal. Traps that use carbon dioxide are effective at collecting mosquitoes, but I think sometimes they're not really effective at stopping them biting us. Mm. So every mosquito it collects is one less to bite you. But if you're in the backyard and have one of these traps going, I can tell you that a mosquito is far more attractive to a big, sweaty person in the backyard rather than the cold plastic trap putting out carbon dioxide. So they'll trap mosquitoes, but don't rely on them as to protect you from all bites.
Yeah. All right. So the message really is find a repellent that works for you. Use it. Everything else works to a certain extent, but don't rely on it.
Yeah, that's right. Topical insect repellents is really the best way to go. And of course, at home, if you're having problems inside the house, make sure your house is screened. Empty all that water in your backyard. Make sure your rainwater tank is screened, gutters are cleaned out. All that great kind of good ideas that we should do all the time in our backyard, but we don't. So maybe mosquitoes in our backyard are a symptom of poorly maintained backyard and tidiness and things like that.
Look, it's a lack of discipline. It's a symptom of poor behaviour, quite frankly. You know,
clearly, James, that's the case.
Cameron Webb, great to see you again. Thanks for dropping by. Dr. Cameron Webb is mosquito research from the University of Sydney. He's been writing about this in this week, of course, because you know it's what it's that time of the year. It's his happy space.
Thanks, James.
Cameron Webb, great to have you along.
This is Afternoons on ABC Radio.